And welcome back to the Greg Horrendous Show, where we are honored to have Hall of Fame, Pillar, you name it, she's the queen of Fairleigh Dickinson University and Fairleigh Dickinson University Athletics. Welcome to the show, Kathy Liggett, to the Greg Horrendous Show.
Thanks very much, Coach. Pleasure to be here.
Now, Kath, you know, you're notorious for being, you don't want the spotlight, but today, it's really, Kenny, it's not a spotlight if you're on radio. What do we call it?
The red light.
You're on the red light. But Kathy, we've been talking about having you on the show for a long time, and I gave you the princess pickup. I drove you over here.
That you did.
And you're here now, and the reason you're here is to find out really who Kathy Liggett is. And I know you came on to this, and the first thing I want to know is, how did you find this job? Where were you before Fairleigh Dickinson? Because when I look at you, it's like you have a knight on your forehead. Where were you before Fairleigh Dickinson? How did you get here? Tell me about the beginnings of Kathy Liggett.
Well, you'll laugh because there's a person that's in common that kind of got me to Fairleigh Dickinson, which is John Scheinman. John Scheinman was up at Keene State where I went to college. So graduated from there. John was a basketball coach up there.
I did not know that.
Yep. And so Fairleigh Dickinson had an assistant athletic trainer's position open. I was working in a PT clinic. Hated it.
Yes. He called me. Where was the PT clinic?
It was in Plainfield, New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm a Jersey girl.
Yes.
So came back home after college and landed at that job there. But always knew I wanted to be in college athletics.
Sure.
And then John knew FD was searching and gave me a call. And as they say, the rest is kind of history.
That is. John Scheinman, still, he does the voice of University of New Hampshire basketball now.
Mm-hmm.
John Scheinman and I, back in the day, Kathy, we were like kindred spirits. He's a huge Met fan.
Yep.
That is very, you know, you learn something on the Greg Horrendous Show.
You do.
And I learned it.
There you go.
So who did you interview with, like, when you came here? Did you tell me about?
Sure. Paul Grainer, who's the head athletic trainer here for a long time, had been an assistant athletic trainer and then moved up to head position. He's now at NJIT.
Gotcha.
You know, they were searching for a while, and you know, they gave me an opportunity.
Yes.
So interviewed with Paul Grainer, and then at the time Roy Danforth, who was the athletic director.
What a good man,
Mr. D. Can't say enough good things about the man. He's a classic.
Yes,
he is a classic.
And when you came here, you were the assistant trainer.
Yep, I was the assistant athletic trainer
for Paul.
Yep, for Paul Grainer.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And who was the basketball coach when you got the first when you got your job here?
Tom Green.
It was Tom.
Yep, Tom Green. And it's
what's the difference between working with Tom Green and when you are the trainer here working with Greg Horrenda? Is it a huge difference, or to kind of give me some little specifics or generalities, whatever you wish?
No, I mean, they're for the most part both kind of the same.
Yeah.
I was kind of just tell me what's going on.
Right.
And
right.
I think both coaches, Coach Green and both of you, dealt with it very well.
Right.
If all of a sudden told you, hey, someone's not, you know, not going to be able to go. And,
sure,
you know, both of you were straight shooters and said, just tell me how long.
Right,
I'll tell a little Tom Green secret.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I need to hear this.
He'll probably kill me, but I used to bargain with Coach Green. If I knew I needed a student athlete for X amount of days out, I'd go in and ask for more, and we'd bargain down to, and we would both walk out of the room that we both won. So
you negotiate a little bit of a
negotiator on that part.
I love
it. At the time, you know, it was always protect the student athlete, but understand also, you know,
there's competition, and it's always, and when you worked with us, Kath, it was just like, you know, we fit like just an old glove, so to speak. It was just, I think at the end of the day, I tell our players, even when they're playing, like, common sense rules out. You know what I mean? Like, okay, if this hurts and you don't feel comfortable, you're not playing. And it happened this year with us with Jaleel Jenkins. He hurt his ankle in the Army game, and he just didn't feel right. And we were playing at Notre Dame, and I'm like, if you're not 100%, I'm not going to put you in any jeopardy, and it's going to prolong it. And it really, as much as there's been a lot of technology, and the trainers have so much more knowledge, it still comes back to the players.
No,
health
and
common sense.
And again, you have to balance it all, and you have to.
Yes.
Every situation is different. Every student athlete is different.
That's right.
And I think it's a tribute to you as a coach to understand that part of it too, because I think a lot of coaches sometimes.
Oh no, they want their guy back.
They want him back, and there's that pressure there.
Yes.
You don't put the pressure on them that way. And again, every student athlete, you have to look at it in totality, and you
that's
have
right.
to look at that student athlete's personality and everything like that, and how it all plays into it, and do what's best at the end of the day.
How long were you the assistant trainer here?
I was the assistant athletic trainer for 9 years.
Oh, it was 9 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I always
years.
Thought you were just the Mac Daddy. I thought
No.
So now what, did Paul retire, or how did that happen?
Paul stepped out of athletic training for a period of time.
Okay.
And then when that happened, I was fortunate enough that Brad's brother, Steve.
Yes.
Steve Hurlbutt was the AD at that time, and I was actually his first, I guess technically, hire. Where he moved me up from an assistant up to the head athletic trainer. And I never had any aspiration to be the head athletic trainer. I just kind of want to come in, do my thing, help the kids. And
that's
that
impossible for you, Kathy, because you're a chameleon, and now you work with closely. You're the associate athletic director, and you work very closely with Brad. So that's incredible
No,
the whole family tree, and how you've evolved into an associate athletic director. You were the interim athletic director, which it's been, you've been given 6 or 7 parties telling it you how good job you did. But
you were
just seamless, because I think when you're here for what year is this now, Kat?
I'm coming up to year 30.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll be 30 in February.
You kind of know the deal, from top to bottom, and you've... And now you're in charge of facilities, correct?
I'm very fortunate where FDU's given me the opportunity to reinvent myself multiple times.
Right.
And I don't think you find that very many places.
No.
And, I'm just honored that they have the,
confidence.
And humbled that they have the confidence in me to kind of transition into different things. And I've just been fortunate where I've worked with good people, and I've worked for great people.
Yes.
And it's good, and I'll always be grateful to FDU in regards to the opportunities that it's given me.
And I think it comes from, and everything does, like, you're very close with my Uncle Billy.
Absolutely.
Which we're all praying for him, and he's had a few hospital stays, but he's hanging in there tough. But it comes back to family.
Oh, absolutely.
And doing the research that I do on the Greg Herenda show, your mom, the first picture I saw of your mom, I'm like, this woman is, she's cool.
Yep.
She went back to school at the age of 72.
Yep.
She volunteered in fire and rescue and owned businesses in Madison. You guys are Madison people. So you're a product of your family. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, very fortunate. I mean, and I think, my parents owned their own business for a long period of time. And
now, what business was that?
They actually owned a flower store.
A
flower store. And I think, my brother, sister, and I learned valuable life lessons there in regards to how you treat people, how you interact with people. And just, you put other people before you in order to accomplish something.
Right.
And at the same time, the value of family, because we are a very close family. I'm fortunate where my brother and sister, we're all still in Jersey.
Exactly.
From that standpoint. So it's but my mom, she's a gem. She truly is. I mean, she just...
She's just very, like a cool...
Yeah, I mean, she's,
Go back to school and just her interactions with, I read about her fellow students.
Yeah.
They wanted her to run for student government.
Yeah, no.
And so it wasn't like she was just sitting in the back or taking online courses.
Oh, no.
Now,
look, my mom can make a piece of paper talk back to her. I mean, she just has that ability where I'm introverted, but she is definitely the extrovert. Like, she just, I tease her all the time, but she's phenomenal. I mean, you can't ask for a better mom.
And your sister went to Fairleigh Dickinson as well?
My sister got her master's at Fairleigh Dickinson. All three of us went to Keene State. My brother, sister, and I all graduated from Keene State up in Keene, New Hampshire.
Which is an absolutely, just for people that don't know it, gorgeous place.
Yeah. Yep.
Up in New England.
Yep. No, it's absolutely beautiful. But my sister came back and...
The Owls, I believe.
Yep, Keene State Owls.
Yep.
And then she, my sister got her master's in business administration.
Okay.
Here.
Exactly.
From that standpoint. So It's good. So FDU's been kind of a lot to the Leggett family.
Tell me, for sure. Tell me about the evolution of Fairleigh Dickinson University since your beginnings to now, and even just recently. I've been here now 7 years has kind of flown by. This is my seventh year, and I can see major change, the personnel change, the physical plan change, our vision. But tell me about go back and kind of capitalize what
the school. Present right now. This is a really exciting time to be part of Fairleigh Dickinson University. The leadership that's in place, the president has his leadership, and then we now have a leader with Brad.
With Brad, sure.
From that standpoint, but I just think that this campus, if you look at what's been done externally, the outside, the landscape, and everything like that.
Place.
I always have said, if we make our front door look good,
that's
people
right.
are going to want to
come in.
And I really think that's what we're trying to do with the Rothman Center.
Yep.
In regards to, you look at some of the improvements that have just been done in the lobby and some things like that. And
no
then
question.
Vision that Brad has and things like that. That I think we're a more welcoming campus now than maybe what we were in the past.
No, absolutely.
The passive was just a matter of just trying to figure out when can we implement things. But like I said, I think it's just a really, really exciting time.
Not
just for the university, but for athletics.
It's funny. We just played. We have to, Kenny, we don't talk basketball much, but we had a huge win against Quinnipiac the other night.
Absolutely.
I was there.
And I know you were there. You were there. And Kenny's a big part of it. But Dwayne Lee came back, and he was an assistant at Quinnipiac. And I said, D, you're back here for 2 hours. How do you feel? He goes, gee, the place looks great.
Yeah.
And I think he mentioned the walk up, our whole walkway, the university walk. And then he mentioned just the production of the game. And Kenny, it's hard to compliment Kenny because his head will bust through the window
behind
us.
Bring it on, baby.
Kenny's
but he's
phenomenal.
The whole production of the game. It's just a different vibe than when Dwayne and I started this thing and Bruce – 7 years ago, it was just, it needed some pop. And I think, obviously, with your help and Brad and Jason and Eddie and those guys, there's some pop in the building.
No, it's interesting because for the Quinnipiac game the other night, you had several men's basketball alums, and they all commented. You had Marcus Whitaker.
Yes.
You had Mensa Peterson.
I know.
You had
Nadi,
and you had and
Mike Schroback.
And
Darnell Edge.
And they all said, they're like, wow, it looks really different. And it's especially nice to hear it from, Marcus Whitaker, who hasn't been back in the building a lot. And I do think you're going to start to see some of, you had Elijah Allen in the building.
Yes.
For a women's game.
Yes.
From that standpoint. But they all come back, and they're all like, wow, it looks really different, and it looks...
No question.
It feels much different, and it's a good feeling.
And Tom Green is on the mic now at the NEC front row, which I think is going to help get his players back.
Yeah. No, it's phenomenal to have Coach Green back in the house. And
what's the early word on Tom Green? I know my brother in Sacramento loves him. Him and Satash do a great job, and... So we've only had, I think he's done two games. He did the Florham game and the Quinnipiac game. But he's having fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can see it. I mean, he comes to the building and he's smiling, and it's nice to see.
Exactly.
From that standpoint. And it goes back to you with bringing, kind of getting the synergy and bringing it all back together. And it's great to see.
Yeah, it's just, we have a lot, there are a lot of good people here.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then, like you said before, there are a lot of great people here as well.
Yep.
Tell me about the great people, other than your mom and your family in your life. Tell me about, and I ask this question to most of our guests, what's Kathy like when she's 11, 12, 13? Are you playing sports? Are you playing music? Or what? Are you a well-rounded? Can you play basketball? I've never seen you really play basketball. What's your sport? Tell us about Kathy as a kid.
Kathy as a kid. I was your typical probably tomboy. I just kind of, anything that was sports related, I picked it up and I did it. So, I was.
Your high school. What high school did you go to?
High school, Madison High.
So you're Madison. I'll get back to Kathy the kid. When did Madison become Florham? Was that a political thing? Like, because when I was a kid, it was like Bill Raftery. We've had him on the show, Raff. He coached FDU Madison. And then now it's like FDU floor. When was that? You know, are people happy with that? Or you're a Madison person.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I live in that town. There's basically three colleges in that town when you think about
it.
You have St. E's, you have FDU Florham,
right.
And then you have Drew, which are...
And they're all beautiful places.
Yeah, and you could probably throw a rock to all three of them
right.
if you stand it in the, you know, in the middle. So, I mean, like, for a town like that, but they're all kind of... they're either walled off or fenced off somehow or another. So like, and they're kind of on the outskirts of
the town.
Of town, so they're
gotcha.
Almost more towards like it. Really,
Morris
the
town-ish.
Yeah, and really kind of the Madison or the Florham campus really sits more in Florham than it does in Madison.
It does
from
okay.
that standpoint.
So, that's it.
So I think it's probably a little bit more of that from that
okay.
standpoint. But I don't think anybody in the town
okay.
has one feeling one way or another.
So you're kind of a tomboy.
Kind
you
of tomboy.
Play
yeah, played sports. I mean, one of the things my dad taught all three of us to do is pick up the game of golf. He said it's a life sport.
Oh, and you know and what.
And
it
it's
is
fun.
A life sport.
And it's fun. I mean, it's a frustrating sport, but it's a fun sport. But,
I'm going to go public here.
No.
Kenny, Kathy, if you're playing in an outing, don't call Herenda, call Liggett. Because she hits the ball true and far, and like you play the red tees, and you should, and you just pound it. And you can no, you're a good player.
No. Look, I'll take any advantage, so I'll always play the Reds from that standpoint.
Oh, but, no, and we have fun.
Yeah, and it's a anyway. Look, it's just it's a fun game, and I enjoy playing probably the scrambles and that more because you have more time to interact with people because
exactly.
you're usually all together.
And then you have to wait and you sit and talk and tell stories and so forth and so on. Tell me about the influence of your dad. I know your dad.
My dad was a big part. I mean, very unfortunately, my dad passed away.
Yes.
You know, when I was in my early 20s, you know, from that standpoint. He gave everything to his family. And I think that's something that really you talk about a life lesson is both my parents, but especially my dad, sacrificed everything. And I think what we always, my brother, sister, and I always feel cheated about is that we didn't have the opportunity to give back to him because he gave so much.
Right.
And I think that's something that carries deeply in all of our hearts and things like that.
Yes.
But he was a good man. I mean, and he was, if you talk to anybody in my family, they will tell you that I'm much more like him than I am my mom.
Gotcha.
But
he was more stoic, quiet,
yep.
behind the scenes.
Yep. But just got it done, but, you know, respected from that standpoint.
Sure.
So, you know, it was a huge loss for the family, but believe it or not, I mean, I think all of us tried to look at a tragedy or a tragic situation to turn it into a positive. And the one thing
Amen.
It did, it made my brother, sister, and I, and even my mom, it made us a very tighter family, which we were already tight.
Yeah.
So I do think that's a gift that my dad still gave back to us,
Amen.
Even with his passing.
My father passed at six. I was 16 years old. So I grew up really quick and became kind of the father of my my family. My mother and I then became so close.
Mm-hmm.
My little brother was 11. I had to go up and tell him that my father had a heart attack and died suddenly. But what I really learned about his passing is I didn't know how much he loved me until I had my son Trey, and now I know. So how much your dad loved you, trust me, is that's something that stays with me, and it makes your family, you either, you know, something like that, it can either take your family and blow it apart or bring it together, and it sounds like your family's, you know, really, really tight.
Yeah, no, we're fortunate, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's nice that we're all close, and even with my nieces and nephews, I mean, it's really special.
Did you ever, and this is off the topic,
sure.
I don't want to start crying here with you on the air, but did you ever think about going to Florham and working, like doing that transition? Because you live in Madison.
Yep.
We have a beautiful campus there. You've been here 30 years, and it's like, okay, you know what? Maybe I can transition. What draws you to Metropolitan Campus and that you've never made that
wiggle? I mean, I'll be very
honest.
To be perfectly honest, it's loyalty. This is the place that gave me an opportunity and gave me a chance, and I'll never turn my back on that.
I love that.
To be perfectly honest, I mean, I had an opportunity to go up to Florham like years and years and years ago when I was still an assistant athletic trainer. They were looking for an assistant, and, you know, at the time, their head athletic trainer reached out to me. And, you know, in some ways, if you look at it on a piece of paper, it was a no-brainer.
Yes.
But in a lot of ways, for me internally, it was not.
Loyalty.
You know, this was, again, the place that had given me a chance.
Well, you know what, Kathy? We are loyal to you. For you, number one, being on the Greg Herenda Show. I know it took a little bit of a push
yes,
and a shove.
Did.
But so many people here love you and just really respect you. And you make this home for me.
No, and I appreciate that. I mean, and again, it's all about our student athletes and
yes.
our kids and watching them grow. And again, FDU is a family, and I can't be more grateful and thankful to be in the family that I'm in. And it is home.
It is home. And we'll take you out with Billy Joel. The name of the song, Kathy.
My home.
You're my home. A piano man.
And I always feel at home when I see you on campus.
Likewise,
and I
likewise.
Thank you so much.
Nope, thank you
for being
Thanks
on the show and for every. I speak on behalf of everyone at Fairleigh Dickinson, the Sean Morrisons, and just like the Pete Lapises. We all do it. We're family and we're home when you're yeah. when you're here, and we appreciate it.
No, and I appreciate everybody else, and you guys make it
yes.
fun every day. And
yeah, it works.
Yep, yep. And happy holidays to
tell
to
your
you.
Mom and your sister Absolutely. And everyone out in Madison to have a happy holiday.
You too. Same to you, Coach.
Great.
All right.
And we'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show after this.
Hey, this is Kathy Liggett, Associate Athletic Director at Fairleigh Dickinson University. I'm here on the Greg Herenda Show. When I'm traveling into campus every day, this is what I tune into. So tune into us at WFDU.